So look at Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we had been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate Your Word today, we think of Your resurrection. And we think about what that means for us. And Lord, I pray as we contemplate the resurrection, we contemplate this passage in Romans, Lord, that You would just speak to our hearts and our minds, that You would enlighten us, that You would transform us after Your Word, so that as we leave here, we would leave rejoicing in You to Your glory. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A Sunday school teacher had just finished giving the Sunday school lesson to third graders, and there were several of them, about how Jesus was crucified, how He was placed in a tomb, and how there was a rock rolled in front of it and sealed. And then wanting, to express her excitement and have those children feel the excitement of the resurrection, she asked, "And what do you think were Jesus' first words when He came bursting out of that tomb alive?" Well, a hand shot up from the rear of the classroom, and attached to that hand was the arm of a little girl. And she was jumping down, up and down in her chair. So the teacher called on her, and she jumped up in her excitement. She said, I know. And the teacher said, "Okay, what was the first words that He said?" And she raised her arm, she went, "Ta-da!" Well, we don't really know if that's what He said. That's not recorded, perhaps. But this little girl was excited about this. She was excited. Jesus rose from the dead. So ask yourself, how often do you get excited about the resurrection? Even more, is the resurrection something that you really think about very often? Is it just something that you only think about on Easter when you show up, on Easter Sunday? For many, at least in the States, as we've mentioned, that there's a lot of emphasis on the Easter Bunny. And children's excitement tends to be more in the basket that they're going to get on Easter morning. It's got candy. They get excited about Easter egg hunts. They get excited by Easter eggs. And all of that goes on with that. And yet, for many of them, they never even hear about the resurrection. And even, you know, with Christians, while maybe considering the resurrection on Easter Sunday, for many Christians, we get so caught up in that busyness of life. You know, we're so busy. When do we sit around and think about the resurrection? When do we do it? Except on this special holiday. Yeah, we've got to consider what the Scriptures have to say concerning the resurrection. What the Scriptures tell us is that the resurrection is something that impacts us every day of our lives in a profound way. Well, how so? Well, first, we need to consider the fact that all of us are going to die one day. We just are. I mean, that is, unless Christ returns first. Come again, Lord Jesus, come. But if He doesn't, we're all going to die one day. And just in the past few years, here at this chapel, we've lost two of our beloved members. And we think of them today. We think of the hope that we have for them, knowing that one day they too will be resurrected and we will be resurrected with them to live eternally. We think of, you know, soldiers, of those soldiers that we've deployed with, that we've known, that we've worked side by side with, good friends who have died at war. We think of them. Just recently, a friend over here at the academy just lost his wife. You know, in his grief, he was telling me, he said, "You know, chaplain, you know, it's just part of life. People die. Death's just part of the way it is." Well, however, we know death, but death has lost its sting. Christ has removed the sting of death. And although we may one day die in our physical body, we do not have to be uneasy about death. We really don't have to worry about it, because our hope is in Christ. Christ conquered death in His resurrection. And so the question is posed in 1 Corinthians 15:55. And you've perhaps read it, heard it read at funerals or circumstances like that. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? That's a good question, because in Christ Jesus, death does not have the victory. Death does not have the sting that it would outside of Christ. Because believers in Jesus Christ have victory in Christ over death. As Jesus told Mary and Martha in John 11:25-26, He told them, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die." Do you believe this? Believe in Him. Partake of His resurrection. As a believer in Christ, death no longer has the victory over us. But in Christ, we have the victory over death, because in the end, we will live. This is our hope. For those who are getting a little older, you know, death's something that perhaps you think about more and more. I mean, you know, we know it can't be held off indefinitely. For those who are sick or have loved ones who are sick, terribly so, where you worry for their lives, you know, we have so many prayer requests. I mean, we've got prayer requests in our bulletin, permanent ones. Know those names. Pray for them. You know, many loved ones of people in this congregation may die because of illnesses. We could despair over that. But in Christ Jesus, we have a hope that sustains us. For even those who are young, even those who are full of life, Those who don't think anything at all about death because life is so abundant and so wonderful. For even those, death can come in a moment. Car accidents or whatever it might be. Whatever slip happens, death can come. We know that every time we step foot outside our front door, we can die. And the risk is not even outside our front door. There are things even in our own homes that we consider safe that for whatever reason could end up killing us. There is risk everywhere. Everywhere. Despite this, God is with us. He watches over us. He protects us. He keeps us. It's amazing to me that we can go from place to place in a car and get there. You know, the only thing I can figure out is the Lord watches over us in that journey. Because a bolt could fly off and the car could go veering off the road at any time. And I truly think that the Lord, He's responsible for getting us there. He holds it all together. He's watching over us. Okay? But sometimes the Lord calls us home. Sometimes it's His will that we go home. And so we die. Are you prepared for death? Being prepared for death, we have confidence. We have a confidence in the Lord. Why is that important? It's because we trust in the Lord to do what He said He would do. He's already proven that He has the power over death. He's proven it. And so our hope is secure. It's now a matter of trusting in Him. Trusting Him to be faithful to His Word. The Word that we have in His Scriptures. The hope that we have in Christ. We trust in Jesus. And because Jesus arose, we must trust in Him. But is that really all that the resurrection is about? Is it just about what's going to happen when we die? You know, we know, okay, when we die, the Lord's going to come again, we'll rise again. That's good. Is that all the resurrection is about? You know, for many people, you know, perhaps some even here, many people see it as, well, you know, they believe, they've got their ticket, they've had it punched, they put it in their pocket, and they wait till that time comes and they're going to cash it in to get their entry. For many people, that's about as far as they think about it. But the Scripture tells us that the resurrection does not only impact us after we die when Christ or when we'll be resurrected from the dead, but it impacts us every single minute of every day. Take a look at Romans 6, 3 through 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. On Friday, when we came here and had our Good Friday service, we read the Scriptures of the Lord's crucifixion. We read how He was buried. We sang those old hymns of the cross. And we sang one particular song that I'm sure most of us know by heart. The song, "Were You There?" Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And we sang that. And we sang that. And we thought about it. Because I'm sure that we went home humming it. Perhaps you've been humming it all weekend. The thing is, in Romans we see that indeed we were there when the Lord Jesus was crucified. We were there. If you were a Christian, as believers in our union with Christ, we were crucified and we were buried with Christ in our union with Him. Now, what does that mean, the union with Christ? And much less, what does that mean that somehow we were in union with Christ with something that happened, you know, almost 2,000 years ago? Well, it's a metaphysical thing. It has something to do with our baptism. Baptism with water, and this is the Christian ordinance that was given to us by Christ, that we should baptize people. You know, it's an outward sign of an inward reality. Now, it signifies and seals the reality of our being united with Christ, which occurs when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at our conversion. Now, Ephesians 1:13 explains the baptism of the Holy Spirit like this: "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So in baptism, we are united with Christ. We are identified with Him in a very real way. In His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His new life, we are identified with Christ. On the cross, our sins were upon Him. He took the punishment that we deserved. He took the wrath of God upon Himself. And the significance of these events are applied to us. Crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and new life. They're applied to us in our union with Christ the Spirit. And look at verses 6 through 11. "We know that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slave to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died, He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ." Now, I know that's difficult to understand. In union with Christ, in union with Christ, we participate in the salvation that He brought us through His death on the cross. In His death and His burial, our sinful selves were crucified with Him. This is what it says. We were crucified with Him. The penalty that we deserved, He took upon Himself at the crucifixion in our union with Him. He took that punishment. And we received the benefits. The penalty was paid. God's wrath was satisfied. And it is in the resurrection and new life of Christ that if you are a Christian, that you now live in union with Him. We're resurrected to a new life. And as He lives to God, so we also are to live to God. We are now dead to sin and alive to Christ. Sin is no longer our master. Rather, Jesus is Lord. And so we say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Romans 6:11 calls such a life being alive to God. 6:12-14 elaborates on such a life. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. In our union with Christ, it is morally inconsistent to continue to live a life of sin like we were slaves to sin. Under grace, we have been empowered by God and by the realities of the new age that Christ brought in, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, as citizens of His kingdom. We have the Spirit of God which was given to us. And in Ephesians 1:13 it says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." And the Spirit empowers us to live for God. It is something we can do. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And with God's Spirit, we are enabled to live a life that is pleasing to God. And it's possible to succeed because the Spirit within us works so that we will do so. And so we offer ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness, seeking to glorify God in our everyday life and actions. And so we live to God. This is a characteristic of one who's been saved by grace through faith. One who is a Christian, a disciple of Christ. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes." So how do we live accordingly? What does this look like in our lives to live in union with Christ, our resurrected Lord? Well, obviously a comprehensive discussion on how we live as instruments of righteousness, it's going to take us a lot longer than just one Easter sermon. You know? And for this reason, I invite all of you to come every Sunday so that you could be here and hear sermon after sermon, Sunday after Sunday, and so that the Lord can work in your hearts and your minds as the Word of God is preached and impact you in a way so that you can live as an instrument of righteousness as you learn and as the knowledge becomes part of you about obedience of faith. Because in a nutshell, living to God is indeed living in obedience of faith. It is a life totally surrendered to Christ. It is a life where we deny ourselves. We carry the burden of our cross and we follow Jesus, Mark 8:34. It involves love. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 11:37-39, He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now in our love for God, we confront our idols. We deny them for Christ. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God as our spiritual act of worship. Romans 12:1. We regularly worship with the body of Christ, but we also worship throughout the day, moment by moment. Our entire lives are an act of worship. We meditate on God's Word daily. We live every day in prayer and repentance. We walk with Christ, following Him as His disciple. We watch for, we recognize, and we resist temptation. The fruit of the Spirit is ours: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. And in love for our neighbor, we live unselfishly. That's key. We live unselfishly, putting others before ourselves, living lives of humble service. We are not burdened with the burdens of pride or pretense or artificiality. We forgive others their sins against us. We confess Christ before the world so they might hear the good news that Jesus has risen and that He rules the gospel so that they might believe and have salvation and eternal life. We are salt and light in the world. Such is a Christian. Such is a disciple of Christ. Such is a child of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In our union with Christ, through His Spirit, we act consistently with the very nature of our being. He empowers us. We live in Christ, resurrected and eternal. And so, you see, when you live to God as instruments of righteousness, every action of every single day is affected. Your lives honor the very God who sent His Son to die on that cross so that we might have salvation, and the very God who resurrected Him from the dead and who we hope. And because Jesus arose, we must live our lives to God. Now, considering these things, how can we really focus on the Easter Bunny on Easter? It just seems ludicrous in comparison. Truly. You know, our focus can only be on Christ on Resurrection Day. Only on Christ. And in Him we have the hope of our own resurrection. Life eternal. In Him we now live united with Him in His resurrection life. We live as instruments of righteousness. We have been freed from the slavery of sin, and now we live to God. We must rejoice in this. He is risen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Because Jesus arose, we must participate in His life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate the resurrection of Christ and how it impacts us, how in our union with Him, our sins are forgiven, but now, having died to sin, now we live for righteousness. We live for Christ. We live to God. And Lord, I pray that the glory of the resurrection in living in Christ Jesus, Lord, I pray that such would just impact us in such a way that we cannot help but live for You. Lord, I pray that truly we will shine before the dark world and the despair that is out there. For we have the true hope, the only hope that this world has in Christ Jesus. Lord, we give thanks in His name. Amen.